This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon and welcome along to Well, 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 here on another lovely Wednesday on the Wairarapa. Well, a bit chilly outside, we might say. But anyway, Well, Well, Well. First well represents how we look after each other. A couple of wells, how we look after each other. And all three wells is all about what's available in our community. And today's guest is, sort of covers all those three really, really well. But just before we introduce our lovely guest, just like to highlight that we are in Bully Free Week this week. So get your pink shirt out for Friday. And also, if you go onto the Facebook page for Pink Shirt Day, show your photos of your workplace or your school or wherever you are, and there's some chance to win some prizes. So remember, that's all about standing up, speaking out against bullying within our communities and to make a safer environment for all. Now, one of the people here I've got here today is someone who actually makes a huge contribution to our community and looks after many of our, or contributes to the vulnerable people in our community. So a huge warm welcome to Beverly Jack from the manager of the Wairarapa Community Centre Trust. Welcome along, Bev.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for inviting me and having me here today.
Oh, great to have you. And I think for a lot of people, they're probably aware of the centre, but may not know everything that goes on there. So it'd be good to find out in a few more details. So normally I like to let people introduce themselves so you can share a bit about yourself, of what you'd like and what you'd like the listeners to hear.
So I'm a Wairarapa girl. I'm a local girl here. My children were born here, and I've been within the rural community as well as within our local community here. And I love Wairarapa. I went away for a few years and came back again because I thought it was a great place to just chill out and be by the water and have a closer relationship with our community. So that's me in person. And I've been in my role at the Wairarapa Community Centre now for 13 years. Great place, gave me an opportunity to use my creative skills, but also to help our community to grow and connect. So enjoy my role where I am.
Well, you kind of mentioned to help the community grow, and I think we'll find out a bit more about what that growing actually entails. So you kind of mentioned you've got a bit of a background in horticulture, and you spend a bit of time dairy farming. So a lot of food sources going on in that there.
Yeah, I've actually spent most of my life nurturing. I never thought about that until I applied for my job at the community centre. So I've worked with people, plants and animals. So all nurturing roles. Loved dairy farming. My husband was a farmer, and I met him when we were living in town, but he always had the yearning to go back to a farming career. And it happened to be milking cows, and I stepped in the shed and thought, oh gosh, what have I got myself in for? But loved every minute of it. I've certainly worked with plants, and we'll hear a little bit more about that as well. And I've worked as a diversional therapist in rest homes in the Wairarapa and over in Palmerston North for a period of time.
Cool. And so I guess you've found a bit of a niche in terms of where you are, because your role covers a lot of those things which you've just sort of discussed there. And so maybe if we look at the Wairarapa Community Trust Centre there in 41 Perry Street, you might like to tell us just a bit about the philosophy and the purpose, and maybe even touch a wee bit on its history.
Yeah. So the community centre was developed as an incorporated society back in 2002. It did take some years for it before the launch happened. I read back and actually developed a book of the history of the community centre because I wanted to know the history, and found even back in the days when the freezing works closed, that there was a real issue in our community around connecting and need, and agencies were really struggling to financially provide the services to help our community. So agencies came together and said, why don't we set up a hub and we can share our resources, we can support each other in the different services that we offer. and we can keep our costs down at the same time. So eventually in 2002, the Community Centre Incorporated Society was established, and they rented for 10 years the old Plastilon factory in Dixon Street.
Right.
It was quite a large facility, and up to 20 agencies came together and supported each other and their finances, which took the financial pressure off those services and gave them the ability to be a little more sustainable and help the community. The building was then identified to be condemned, and the community centre took another 4 years to find a purpose-built or something similar that could accommodate the size that we had originally had. We couldn't find anything anywhere. And luckily, we had a real estate agent on our board. Dave McCaddy helped with the finding of the building where we are now, which was 41 Perry Street. That was on the market for sale, and we had rented property prior to that and weren't looking at owning a property at all. But we took it to a public meeting at the town hall, and the town hall, the people that attended that meeting solely supported that we remain as a hub and looked at how we could purchase the building that we're currently in now. So through community funds, so local philanthropic and Department of Internal Affairs, we were able to find enough money to purchase the building, and moved across there in the end of 2011, and the building then became a charitable trust. So it's a community-owned building, which is very rare in New Zealand to have a community centre that is a charitable trust and not owned, an asset owned by our local council. So that gives us lots of flexibility in how we develop and grow that service. And so we're a full house. My role within the community centre is to ensure that financial stability, that we can support the agencies that we have in there. And since then, we have expanded even further into food projects.
Cool. Thanks for that really good description. You're sort of ticking off a number of the things I've got here. You're covering, which is absolutely brilliant. So obviously you've got an important community space here, which kind of helps people come together. And there's obviously a lot of social services there providing that wraparound support. So maybe if we quickly cover some of the tenants that you have in there, so people are aware of some of the services that they could connect with.
Mm. So the idea of the hub is to provide multiple services so that we can support a wraparound. People often come with multiple needs. So we were very, realised the importance of being able to offer a variety of services. So we have all age groups with that ability to be supported. So we have social service workers, we have counsellors and psychologists, we have supported employment, we have RSA, we have the Women's Centre, Heart Foundation. So we go from health to women to ageing to employment and those counsellor needs.
Yeah.
I think youth lines. We've got youth in the middle there as well.
Because I've got a sort of list here. You've already mentioned the Wairarapa Women's Centre, the RSA, the Heart Foundation, Community Connections. We had Shane on last week. You've got Manline new in there now. Youthline, Motorua Development Services.
So that's the social workers.
Yep. And then you've got your counsellor, psychologist, Rochelle Connell, Jennifer McCullum, Carol Volt, Clyde Bickerstaff, Ginny Corr, Tamara Nell.
No.
She's
moved on.
Yeah. Because it's still on your board on the outside on Google Maps.
I was going to say that board has been updated.
Yeah. But not for Google Maps. Yeah. So just have we not. So I did have a question mark because I wasn't sure there. But so obviously a good range of services there for people to connect in. But also,
I was just going to say too, Also, they work across the whole of the Wairarapa. So sometimes they're down in South Wairarapa. And whilst they're down there, we're able to utilise their offices to accommodate agencies that just want 1 or 2 days, or they're in the process of starting a business and they're building up their client base. So we're almost like that cocoon that we can help get them on their feet. So the days that they're not there, we have lots of other services available as well.
Yeah, because I know we'll come up later, because obviously another great thing about your venue is also has various facilities within there for hire, and you do have that office space that even people have wanted on an hourly basis type thing. There is that.
Yeah. So the hot, we have hot desks where we've got people coming over from Wellington or Palmerston North, even Auckland. They fly in from Auckland and they're doing interviews. They might be specialists, and all they want is an office for half a day or an hour, and we can accommodate that as well. Mm-hmm. And so the other services we have is we have a commercial kitchen and we have a conference room. And so we have organisations that come in and hold regular monthly or fortnightly or even weekly events in the conference room, or just a one-off full-day session. So lots of flexibility that we can help strengthen that community.
Yeah, because I know I've been in there with a particular workshop or things like that, and very reasonable rates, so it makes it very accessible if people are looking for a great venue, because within there you do also have the fridges and the sinks and things like that for people to access to be able to do a wee bit of catering as well. And that's not even going into the commercial part of the kitchen, is
no,
it?
No, that's right, yeah.
But we're saving that for later. So obviously you've got a good range of services there, but also you do have that space, the bigger area where you've got some of those groups actually host regular activities. Like I know there's a bit of the Women's Centre does some yoga and things like that. Yep. Would you like to touch on some of those regular stakeholders with their activities?
So we have Age Concern run a coffee morning on a Monday. We have the Tramping Club have their club meetings in the evening, because we have evening meetings as well. We run first aid. We have first aid courses in there. So St. John's and Life Care all run first aid courses there. What else do we have? Muscular Dystrophy run their classes there. We have a cardiac support, peer support group meeting in there.
Is it carer support group?
Grandparents raising grandchildren often come and have meetings. That is, it's not a regular thing. It's just as they get inquiries for new grandparents interested, they will hold a meeting.
Yeah, because what I found there, you've got the yoga every Thursday, 12:30 to 1:30 with the Women's Centre. Age Concern for the over 65s on a Monday each month, and that's from 9 till midday. The Troubadour Music Group.
Yeah,
sounds interesting.
Every Monday night, Stefan Brown, who's very well known within our community, he has a music group there, 6 o'clock till 8 at the community centre every Monday evening.
Yeah. Good to hear you blowing the trumpet for them. We also have the Masterton Tramping Club, which is the first Wednesday of each month, 7 till 10. And we've Rotary Club, a bit of a breakfast.
Yes, they have their breakfast meeting every Thursday morning, 7:30 till 9 o'clock.
Cool. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a bit of a list of some of the community groups that if people want to get involved with, that I guess if you're aware of those times, you can potentially stick your head in and find out more, or look them up online. Mm. To do that. Obviously, if you've missed those details, you can pop on to the Arrow FM 92.7 website and check out this podcast, and you would be able to find those details again. Otherwise, you can contact the Perry Street Community Centre, which is probably the best way. Have a chat to Bev, and I'm sure she'll set you straight. We will give those details later on, so if you want to get the contact numbers or details, have your pen and paper ready, and we'll get on to that. And so I already mentioned your facilities to hire, the conference room and your kitchen, your office rooms that also have some showers, is that right?
Yes, we do. When we bought the building, we changed some of the layout of the building to make it more disability friendly. So it is a flat surface, disability friendly, disability car park at the rear. And we put in disability toilets. And in one of those disability toilets, we have a shower, a wet floor shower. So if anyone's having their bathroom upgraded and, they'd love to just have a lovely hot shower and that sponge bath doesn't quite do it, they can certainly come in and utilise that space. But we also have a cubicle shower as well down by the ladies' bathrooms. It's an independent room. So, yep, that ability to do that as well.
Awesome, yeah. So if
the only thing we're missing is a bed.
Yeah, it sounds that way, but I'm sure there's accommodation around that other people can check into. Yes. We're going to have to take a wee break, a wee bit of a musical break here, and you've come forward with a couple of songs. We're going to hear a bit of Stevie Wonder. Any particular thoughts behind this song choice of yours?
No, I love the song, the purpose behind it, and it just reminds me of it just gives me energy to get out there and do something.
Wonderful. So we'll be back in about 2 minutes 52 and you'll see Bev with a whole lot more energy after you listen to a bit of Stevie Wonder, "You Are the Sunshine of My Life." Stevie Wonder, "You Are the Sunshine of My Life," and the bit of the sunshine in our lives here at the moment is Bev Jack from the Community Centre. And we've just been having a bit of a chat about what the centre offers in terms of facility hire and the various tenants, etc. there. But now we're going to look at really one of your key functions, and that's about enabling people to be able to grow food. You're able to distribute it, so people have got access to eating healthy food and in a sustainable sort of manner. You've had a number of projects going on in the past. Some continue to go, but you've had a number of initiatives there. And I know we're just quickly talking about you've had the Waikai project, community composting, and the reuse wild meats. Would you like to explain a wee bit more about some of those initiatives? Are they things you'd like to see going again, or have they had their time, or what's your thoughts?
I think as long as there is a need in the community and it suits a purpose, we will always try and find ways where we can find funding. It's driven by funding, unfortunately. And if we can identify that need, we will try and go back and see if we can reignite that funding. The reuse program was really about some funding I got. Is it was only ever going to be a one-year project unless we could stand on our own 2 feet after the funding expired, and that just wasn't possible. Mm. But we were aware that DOC was going into the forest and they were managing the overpopulated deer. But they were shooting and leaving the deer because of the damage that they were doing in the understories of the forestry. So eating all the nice live and fresh seedlings that were happening, that were growing. And so our concern was we were aware that we had a hungry community out there and it seemed a waste of a resource to only do half a job. So we wanted to be able to work with them and bring that meat out and be able to distribute it to our community. So for 12 months, we bought in to our local butcher that deer that was being hunted. And we processed it into mince and sausages and meat patties. We wanted to have a meat source that families knew how to use. And it was a quick, efficient mm-hmm. way to cook it as well. And we distributed out and fed 35,000 people in the Wairarapa over a 12-month period with that program. So very beneficial. We supported local and we helped feed those people that were in need. It was distributed by many partnerships that we have. So we had over 35 agencies that we distributed to that to, and they were working hands-on with those clients, so they were identifying the need. And we also partnered with Y-Waste, which is a food rescue company here in town, and they helped store that in their chillers for us, and they distributed out to their agencies that they had as well. So great partnerships. I mean, you know, being able to be successful is around working with those partners and a variety of them, wide and upper wide. And we also used it to support cooking programs for other agencies that were running programs. And also for community barbecues, I think.
Absolutely. I'm just sitting here waiting to get that in we put on some lovely burgers for the community, and I mean the meat was just absolutely fantastic. And I mean it seems a pity that hasn't been able to be sustainable because it was such a good protein source. Yeah. And just really, really tasty. And the fact that you'd put out so many patties and sausages, and there's probably more need in the community for that sort of thing. So I think there was there a number of other hunters as well, or something, who sometimes donated stuff, or is that?
We had a local farmer. Initially, the project was that we were, the idea was we were hoping the community could help us more and that would reduce our costs to retrieve that meat. And also to have retired butchers that would process it. So retrieving, processing and distributing were the three main costs that came into play there. But we just weren't able to connect those people. It took a lot of time to connect the dots and it was just really stressful and unsuccessful.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, near the end of that program, we were able to really connect with some good community members and explore even further options, but we'd run out of time and we just weren't able to regenerate that income again. So at this stage, I haven't been successful. We are looking at a regional project. I'm also a member of the Regional Kai Network, which is funded by Te Whatu Ora, and we work between Wellington and Kapiti. and the Wairarapa, and we are looking at how we can run collective programs and apply for one funding avenue rather than each of our agencies working independently to get that funding. So that is a current program that I'm looking at to be able to reignite that. Also, we have had contact with local dairy farmers, and we're looking at an avenue there around if a cow has a broken leg or a foot rot and it can't go on to, it's been rejected from the freezing works because it can't get on a truck, then we may be able to access that and process it and help the farmer out, but at the same time help our community.
So absolutely.
Connecting those dots again.
Yeah. At least it's, you've had a chance to trial it. I mean, you said it was unsuccessful, but I think in the many facts of what you achieved, it was very successful.
Right. Yeah.
And, just the way economic climate's going, there's more people under financial stress and things like that. I mean, I can see that being reinvented, and so really good to be able to talk about it. And so there might be some people out there with ideas and things like that of how to bring that together. A couple of other things. I think you talked about the food sustainability and getting different groups together. I think that's quite another whole conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. We have, so I'm part of multiple groups because what we're trying to do is bring everybody together and stop, you know, I saw this when I first went into social services here, when I came back to Masterton, was we're all going off and you know, we're all very passionate about our roles, but let's not work in solo and in those silos and come together and share our skills and support each other, because it only strengthens the services that we can offer to people. And so we're trying to do that in the food resilient umbrella as well. So we've actually set up a food arm of our community centre called Food Resilient Wairarapa. And can I just talk about how that all came about? Are we up to that? Or?
Oh, we're not. We're jumping ahead, but I've rearranged my notes because we can get into that while into it, because I think possibly I think one of the most important things is talking about some of this localised sustainability, and that's really, as you say, bringing numerous organisations together from, what's that, food providers, distributors, and the wholesale people or the
growers
and everything. And, I guess I know I've spoken to you before, and we talked about it in terms of those emergency situations and how this could be a major need for the community. So if we can touch a bit on that, I think that'd be absolutely interesting and awesome.
Well, we have a commercial kitchen, and back in 2014, MPI, their rules changed, which affected our commercial kitchen. So we had an asset sitting in our community centre that was no longer being utilised to its full potential. And as part of our community network forum that both you and I belong to or go along to, we were seeing homeless people in our streets, and we were hearing from those agencies in this network forum that families were really struggling. That was when we started seeing a real turn in our community here and the struggles that we were seeing. And so we talked about how could we address that need. And so I thought more about this. I touched base with some agencies and looked at how we could utilise our asset and at the same time help our community. And so did some research, put some funding applications together and presented that to my board. And the decision was that we partnered with Y-Waste, our food rescue company here again, and that we would use rescued food from the local supermarkets to feed our whānau. And so I put a call out and had a lot of knowledge around volunteers and who was available out in our community from a previous project I ran. And we brought everybody together. We brought agencies together to look at how would we best get that food to people? What would that look like? So the first program under Food Resilient Wairarapa that was developed for us was the community kitchen. And we bought volunteers, we bought food together, we made the connection, utilised our kitchen and made beautiful nutritional food, and we froze it in individual containers. And this is still going today. I never thought when we looked at that program that 8 years later, we would still be running the same program, and our need has only gotten bigger. So we bring agencies together. We have over 140 volunteers in this program. We have 54 agencies that are distributing those meals, Wairarapa wide. So again, they are working with the client, they've identified the need, and they pop into the centre, pick up those frozen meals and take them out to the families, and they can be put in the microwave, nice, quick and easy, and a family's fed within 10 minutes.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, as you say, talked to you earlier about being a community hub, and so it's really good that that's both sides of providers and consumers are being catered for in that model. Yeah. Brilliant. So, I mean, how are we looking if there was to be an emergency, earthquake, flooding, or maybe had a virus? I don't even know, we've sort of talked about how the war has an influence on petrol costs and things like this. How sustainable is Wairarapa locally in such an event? Or will it depend on what event is?
Well, yes, definitely it would. And this is only my opinion and from what I see happening in our community. I've recently been down to Wellington and part of the Regional Kai Network again. We've actually addressed this issue. We're a rural community, so we have farming. We have lots of milk. We have lots of meat available to us. We export in New Zealand 40 billion tonnes of food out of New Zealand. I'll use petrol as an example. New Zealand, being a little country at the bottom of the world, is going to be probably one of the first off the radar for when it becomes a real crisis. And we are used to, as a Wairarapa community, being isolated, knowing that we have the Rimatakas and the Tararuas on either side of us, and we have a very strong connected community here. I think the Wairarapa will be fine. We just need to work together better as agencies, and we're working on that right now, in fact, that we will have a surplus of food. And for us, it'll be how we store that food so we don't waste that food to get it out to the families that are in need. That's my personal opinion of what I see happening in our community.
And so part of that storage is going to come back to our electricity if that's sort of wiped out.
That's right.
What are some of the other gaps you might have identified, and how can we improve on these? Who do we need to get involved, or what resources might we need?
Well, interesting. We, under the Food Resilient umbrella, we have developed a co-op, and over the last month we've had two meetings inviting all food agencies, Wairarapa wide, to the community centre to have a meeting and start talking about that. And so we've come up, what we've addressed is what are the challenges that those agencies currently face if there was a crisis, what challenges do we feel we may be affected by, and how we can be proactive now and put this thinking into place. And so what we've identified is that the importance of setting up a crisis management plan based around food, solely around food. So we need to, our intention is to go to our community. We want it to be community-led. The community centre's mission statement is about working with partners to identify community need and to have community-led programs. So all the programs we talk about now under the Food Resilient Wairarapa umbrella are all community-led. The community kitchen, which is what we've just talked about, the frozen meals, it's community-led. They have team leaders that cook the programs, have a team of volunteers, and produce that final result. And we want this crisis plan to be community-led as well. So our intention is to go out to our community and ask those questions to the community. I have just produced a survey that will be popping out soon out to our community. And then we're also going to be having hui's for those people that are not technology friendly or want to do that face-to-face instead of computer systems, to hear what is their current challenge in the family, if they've had any, if there was a petrol crisis or the power was off, the power was down, or food prices continued to rise, how do they feel that that will affect them? And asking their opinion on what they think the answer to that could be. But also, that's not necessarily going to be everybody. You know, some people could survive because they've got their own garden and they have a well-connected family, that they could support each other for weeks. So in those scenarios, we're looking at what resources they could offer. So there are people that could offer time, maybe equipment. So we want to know what resources are in our community. Has somebody got a storage unit or a container ship sitting out in the backyard, or a trailer that they're, or an electric vehicle that they're able to, they're happy to support us with a crisis plan? And then go to our agencies and see what else is available, and then our businesses, and try and connect the dots. So we're mapping what's currently available in our Wairarapa and what members of our public would be happy to support this crisis plan. And then put a plan together from that. So if whatever crisis it be, environmental, flooding, earthquake, power shortages, then we know where to go. Who are the people that we connect with to help us with those resources? I know we have REMO, we've got Civil Defence. They're going to be, as we've known in our recent issues, community issues that we've had, and environmental with the flooding and Cyclone Gabriel, we're going to, they're really busy with their infrastructure stuff. And that's why it's important for our community to lead this, because we've seen it in Christchurch with the army, the volunteer army team, how useful they were, and it got bigger, it grew bigger and bigger every day. People want to help. We just need to know. They just need to know how to help, what they can do. So it's a very, that's my new project, is to work on this now and see what.
Yeah. Certainly sounds like a big project, and I can imagine there's a lot of logistics going on. It really depend on the situation of what's been faced, but also really important that the work is done prior rather than enduring, because it sounds like we have an abundance of food. In fact, it sounds like in terms of a national emergency, we could be the takeaway capital, or that the centre for Uber Eats, that especially in the lower North Island anyway. So being able to coordinate
it. It would depend on our rail. Because one of the advantages we have is we're in Perry Street. Where's the train station? Perry Street.
True.
Are we able to ship that further to Wellington to help share that load, so that food is not being wasted if we have abundance of food from any of our growers, our supermarkets, our butchers, whatever the case is? It's to work. That's why it's important to work with those businesses as well.
Absolutely.
And if we can ship it out so that we're not wasting any of that product and helping other other communities, then that's great as well.
So if what you've talked has resonated with anyone, whether it is a grower, a supplier or consumer, I guess, how would they connect in with this group for that, the conversations?
Make contact with me at the community centre. So 41 Perry Street, Wairarapa Community Centre, 0272809226.
Sounds correct. Yep. And what about for people who are short of food and probably a bit shy, or if coming forward to ask? And I mean, I've seen articles in the paper of people being short of money, and kids are missing out on meals, or it's down to a bit of rice and things like that. So if people are feeling that pinch, how can they get some of that food support?
Yeah, for us, because we are community agency only, we can only give to agencies. So if they are currently connected, even if it's a school, the school can ring. If it's their Plunkett or another agency that they may be connected to, we can certainly help with meals. We have our local food bank that can give food parcels to families, no questions asked. The resource Centre in King Street.
Yep.
They have meals available, which is they are the distributors for the leftover lunches and schools program. So they are giving out free meals. All of this is a free service to our community.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. The Sikh community in Cole Street, they give out free meals. And that's on Facebook, so that's another option to families.
Yeah. Yeah, food banks are obviously here in Church Street, and once again they can reach out to you at the community centre for some of those contacts. So absolutely fantastic that, you know, it's nice to think that some of the vulnerable people in our communities, for whatever reason it may be, and especially with higher unemployment, there are other additional pressures on, that there is that local support. Now, it also brings us to a few other things that you've also had going, because there's also something like the Seed Bank that I believe has been another initiative that you've had there. And I think you're working with a couple of local young ladies there, Jessica and Georgia. Maybe you'd like to touch on the Seed Bank.
Yeah, yeah. If we can just flip back to the vulnerable, if people are homeless, we have two programs or two ways that they can access food as well, meals. There's a day program that's run at St. Matthew's Church on Monday, Wednesdays and Friday lunchtime, 12 to 1. Homeless people can go. So if you know anybody homeless, direct them there. We cook those meals for them for their lunch. And there's also the night shelter, which is Kim's Way in Bannister Street. And we also support and send food across, hot meals across to them as well for the evening meal. So our more vulnerable families or people are being supported, and then families can access it through what we've just talked about.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so the Seed Bank or Seed Library.
Seed Library, that's the one, yes.
Because it's like a library. You go to a book library and you pick up a book and you take a book back. And that's what our Seed Bank is all about. So, again, it's something that I've wanted to set up for a little while. We've done this about face because the garden came first.
The chicken or the egg, is it?
Yeah, so it's what comes first, the chicken or the egg. And there was, what we were teaching people was how to have that seed that is grown locally. That's the most important thing. That's our sustainability really around gardeners here. If we can save seed and share that local seed, we have more success in gardening because it's grown under our climate. When you buy seed from other commercial businesses, it could be grown anywhere in New Zealand. Mm. And so more success if it's a local seed and sharing that around. So really that's how this came about, was teaching people the importance of, if you've got some really strong broccoli or carrots that have grown really well, let them go to seed. Choose a few of them, let them go to seed, and then save that seed, because you'll get more success rate in your next season. And if you've got surplus, put it into the seed library and somebody else can benefit that from what you have provided. So it's around community helping community. So if you've got surplus, turn it over in that same year. Don't hang on to it for years and think, what am I going to do with this?
Yes.
And the success rate of that seed then growing has become less and less for germination. So let's turn it over fast, grow it, save it, do it again the next year. So we've had some donations. Certainly if I get donations from commercial businesses, I'm not going to turn that away, and we're going to share that. And just recently I did that as well and put that into the seed library. But we don't have enough seed to be able to support everybody. So we need the community to help us in sharing their surplus as well. Jessica and Georgia come along again to our garden, and so was aware of what was going on there. And at home, they had surplus and said, can we work together? Can we look at this, see what we can do? There was a very small seed library at the Masterton District Library, going back a couple of years ago. And recently they've relocated because the library's being decorated, and they've had to downsize the library, so they weren't able to keep that said library available. And they very kindly donated their seed box to me, knowing that we had the our garden, and that planted the seed to say maybe it was time. And then Jessica made contact with me and reiterated for me, here it is again, the seed library thing's coming up, so let's get on and do it. So we have a fridge that's been beautifully decorated by Georgia and Jessica, and we share that responsibility of topping up and looking at it weekly, monitoring it and making sure that everything's okay. We're not going to know how many seeds go through that library because we're not present at the library. Mm. So there is no way really. We're relying just on our community. It's another asset that takes very little time but is so useful, particularly for people that can't afford seed because it can be expensive. And we want to remove every barrier possible to encourage people to grow their own food, to help with that food resilience. And this is another way that supports it.
Absolutely. And great to see some youth involved there. I mean, I know when I plant my veggies, you tend to get these punnets with six of the things in and they all ripen at the same time. So it's a good way to get a variety there. So we've sort of talked about the egg there. Let's come back to the chicken. Yes. So you also have your grow community gardens. I mean, we'll just try and get through this in the last quarter, which is gardening for resilience and optimal wellbeing. Right. DIA funded, and that's all based there at St Matthew's Church in Park Ave. So yeah, tell us a bit more about what's going on there.
So it's behind the St Matthew's Church there. I was actually going there to the site to take the meals for the homeless people, and I could see this land there, and I knew that through our lockdown, our COVID lockdown, that more people had become interested in gardening, and the garden centres had sold all their seed and all their seedlings. You couldn't get any for the life. And it identified to me that we had that interest here in our community. So I applied to the Department of Internal Affairs, and they have a project fund that's available for a year. So we talked about the reuse program. That's how I got the funding to support that, to kick it off. And they helped fund this to kick off our grow garden. And initially, it's evolved over time. So September 2022, it was established. In 2024, 18 months down the track, we won third prize in the New Zealand Organic Community Garden in New Zealand. It's a community-based, community-led project again. And it's worked on organic, so everything is as natural as we can. It's not a closed garden. It's not big enough. We don't have the ability to be able to close off any resources coming in, but we do our best to use those organic principles as much as we can. So everything is as natural as we can get it. No pesticides and sprays are used unless they are natural. So people are taught to use liquid fertilisers that are made from comfrey or borage leaves. We do a lasagna composting system, and that's what feeds our beds. And we use lots of resources within our local community. So we're using wallfages. We get wallfages and get wool dags. The dag man has supported us in that with free dags. And we use wood mulch, leaf. The council have supported us with leaves from the park to help us with that balance of green and brown mix. Anything, weeds, grass clippings, anything that we can find that is a natural source, pea straw, everything is used in that layering system. Cardboard is all used to make that compost, which is our most important element to put into our gardens. And so when we say what came first, the chicken or the egg, when we opened our garden, we didn't start at sowing seed, because it's a very hit and miss skill, and it's a real skill that you need to have. So we didn't want to start at that end. We started at seedlings, so that you saw it, you got instant gratification for what you grew. So then we grew the plants. Those plants are then donated back to our community kitchen. So we've got a circular economy going on here that supports our program. Volunteers take surplus, and then we save the seed and start again.
Yep. So that circular economy, I think, is really important too, because, I mean, it must be such a great educational tool for the people who come into the program, and especially if it is, you know, provides a bit of inspiration for people to set up their own garden. They've got the whole process and system of how to do that. And
most definitely. It's about sharing our skills. So we have people there that are really keen gardeners, and they share that knowledge to a new gardener. And we see that enthusiasm. Gardening doesn't have to cost anything. You can garden in a cardboard box. You can garden in a bucket. You don't have to have nice flash edges, and we don't have any edging at the garden. And if we use our seed library, you get your seed free, and it's just time. And the most important thing is observation. So that was really, you know, we can feed ourselves and our family very cheaply if we have that skill set. So it's a sense of belonging. We've seen people with mental health. The gardening has reduced their anxiety. Having your fingers in the soil and being grounded has been really helpful for people's mental health. We've had new people coming in from new residents into our community, so it's helping people connect. It's helping our environment. We have bug hotels. We've got food forests. We've got lungo gardens. We're growing vegetables, berries, I'm just trying to think of everything that goes on down there. Agencies coming in, working with disabled people as well, teaching them how to grow their own food. And it's a community within itself.
And I think it's really important, because I notice in the years that I've been growing up that we're seeing a lot more of the local market gardens kind of disappear, and there's just straight into the big corporate type suppliers and things like that. And even then, I think a lot of the food is actually exported. And then we get overseas imported. So,
or we get the seconds.
So it's just a great concept, and especially as prices just continually going up, that if people can learn those skills, that they can be a bit more self-sufficient and resilient. No, we're getting a bit short of time, so I have to race through the last couple of things. So also, you've got your community cooking classes, and I think you've even got something like the Age Concern. You have the 441 cooking program for men over 50, and tell us about the cooking classes.
So the cooking classes, we've actually got some coming up in July, so keep an eye out for our Facebook page. They run for 4 weeks. They're going to be a Friday morning, 10 to 1, and that's about sharing lots of tips. The classes are free, and we talk about the supermarket dynamics, and how they layer food on shelves so that at eye level is the most expensive. And so how to read labels, the layout of a supermarket. It teaches you about menu planning. It teaches you writing up, being prepared to go to a supermarket. Don't go to a supermarket when you're hungry or with the children, because they're going to blow your budget. It's like, I want this, and I'll only eat that one and this brand and not that brand. And it's how to bulk up food cheaply so that we can feed larger families.
Especially when it's on special.
Most definitely.
Yep.
Cook once and eat several times. So lots of different basic skills about cooking on a budget, lots of tips available to people, and anybody can come to those classes. And then 411 is four ingredients for one person in one pan. And this is a male's cooking class because it's based around men are obviously very different than women, and they like a quieter lifestyle. And if they've lost their wives, they often don't go out and socialise as much as women do. We're social butterflies, women, and men, although they can be lonely, they don't know how to break that ice to get on out into the community. So we bring men together through food, because we communicate best through food. And so they learn very quick basic recipes, four recipes for themselves in one pan. So there's not pots all sprawled out against the bench and making a big mess of the kitchen.
Because that's got to be the big appeal to the men. There's less dishes to do, isn't it?
Most definitely. Yeah, nice and
tasty, easy. Less dishes in a short space of time is the key.
Tips around cooking as well. So yep. We've just finished one recently. We had 13 people registered and they had a ball of a time. We have a male cook, David. So he's a chef. He's taught in the prisons, and he's also been a chef in the army. So lots of skills there.
Brilliant. Well, so the last one we sort of touched on earlier was about providing those emergency meals. I think 2023, I found out you produced about 7,700 meals. Mm. And there's also, you've got over 100 volunteers which are helping to serve and contribute to those. So tell us a bit about how these economical meals are produced.
So we cook every week. Any volunteer in the community can come and support that program, because we can all do something. We have people come forward and say, I can't cook. You don't need to know how to cook. We have a team leader who's an expert. They are confident, and you just follow instructions. Everyone can veggie prep. We know how to peel a carrot or a potato. That's all you need to be able to do. Do dishes, write labels, and they come together. They have morning tea, so that gives them the opportunity to share what happens in their lives and where to connect the other groups. We've had people going off to yoga together because they've had that opportunity in the cup of tea to be able to find out the interests of other people and learn what else goes on in Masterton here. So it's a great opportunity to learn, even for them, learning new skills. We cooked yesterday, actually. We got a phone call from Y-Waste. They had four large boxes of cherry tomatoes that needed to be used ASAP. So we had a team come in. They roasted the tomatoes, the onions, the garlic to draw out that flavour. They made just under 300 meals in a few hours.
Wow.
And they made tomato soup, and they made a pasta bake as well in that period of time. So nice, quick and easy it was. We are very creative in what we cook, because we base our recipes on what's in our walk-in pantry at the time. So the basis was today it had to be tomatoes. How are we going to put that to use with such a large volume at one time?
Absolutely brilliant. Mm. I mean, I think it's just so important that, A, it's not only about food, which people need for survival, but there's also that element of connection and education, etc. We're down to the last couple of minutes, so I nearly have to get into racing commentator mode here. So just a couple of things we want to touch on is you rely a lot on voluntary work, and for some people who've been around for a lot of time, got experience, knowledge and wisdom, they're more than welcome. For other people who are looking to get into, to keep their days busy, for other people it might be develop some skills. So volunteers, just get in contact with you.
Yeah, and those volunteers can actually be businesses as well. They can be agencies. They can be anybody. We recently had a cub group that came in the evening. We have a ladies' church group that comes in to cook.
Yep.
We will base the recipe around the group and how their skill set. So anybody, just make contact with me at the community centre, 027 280 9226.
Obviously, they rely on funding as well. So I know you have a Give a Little page.
Yes, yeah.
So if you're able to do something, pop on to the Give a Little site and look under Wairarapa Community Centre Trust. I'm sure they'll appreciate your donation. It obviously directly impacts the lives of people in the Wairarapa, from supporting the local community, improving facilities, having these vital services regarding food and all the other programs. So remember, contact details if you'd like to find out more, get in touch with Bev. They are physically at 41 Perry Street, Marsden. Their website is www.wcct.co.nz. Facebook is just wcct.co.nz. Email wcctmanager@wcct.co.nz. Or that phone number again, Bev.
027 280 9226.
Okay, so plenty of ways to get in touch there. Like I said, this will be posted on the Arrow FM 92.7 website under Well 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 if you want to find out some of those details. But just as easy if you do that search under Wairarapa Community Centre Trust. So we're going to finish up there, and I guess for our dessert for the day, our final takeaway, what's the best piece of advice you'd like to leave listeners as we close up the show?
We can't pour from an empty cup. So it's really about, we have to look after us first. If we burn out, we're of no use to anybody in our community. So we've got to be kind to ourselves. And it's about not doing for, it's supporting. So having a listening ear, listen to what people are needing, ask them what they need. Don't take for granted that you know what they need.
Yeah.
Be kind, look after ourselves, but also work well together in our community.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Great piece of advice. Make sure you put on your own oxygen mask first. And just a huge big shout out to Bev and all the other volunteers at Wairarapa Community Centre for everything that you do in the community, and especially around food resilience. Without food, we don't survive. So if food means something to you and you like to get involved, make sure you touch base there, because I'm sure the more we can get the circular economy going with food, the more everyone in our own community benefits. So signing off from here, thank you very much, and see you later. Cheers. Bye.